Well, let's look at God's word together. John 14, we're going to pick it up where we left off last week, beginning at verse 8. We're going to read through verse 14, and then we're going to keep going in the coming weeks through the rest of John 14. But let's begin at John 14, verse 8, and let's read this as a part of our worship. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Well, sometimes when people read the Bible, they make it say and take it to say what is said something other than what is really meant. And, of course, this text of Scripture, like others, we have some examples probably of that, and we're going to talk about that today. But I do want to encourage us to be considering that Jesus' words to his disciples, although they can be easily twisted, are powerfully encouraging. These are powerfully encouraging words, although we may be perplexed for a minute. I'm hoping today to tone down the perplexity and to increase the powerful encouragement for you, your faith, and us together. This is Jesus' message for us as his followers. And I want us, as we look outside and we see some of those trees beginning to bud and the flowers will soon be popping, to think about fruitfulness. That tree, if it's an apple tree, those little buds and that flower is indicative of one day, later on this year, there will be fruit on that tree. And these words of Jesus here are about fruit in us, through us. Fruit in him and by him and for him. Let's be encouraged by Jesus' words, and let's consider some of these powerful words. John 14, verse 12, there it is. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father." Now, just kind of a preview of, like, okay, a lot of people take that and say, wow, there must be some class of Christians, some group, whether it's apostles or Pentecostals or charismatics or people that are really committed or whatever, that are doing these great works, right? That's the common misunderstanding of this passage. Because it says, whoever believes in me. So this is not some special class of special Christians. Jesus is talking here clearly about ordinary Christians and every single one of them. Right? Whoever believes in me. So whatever he's saying and whatever it means about the works that he does that we do, and whatever he's saying and whatever it means about the greater works, even than he does, that we will do, for sure we know, and we'll talk more about this today, that this is for every single one of us who claim to be and are indeed a true believer in Jesus. So one of the other things that as I consider a text like this, there's a lot of people when they see a passage like this who are really sure what it does not say, but then miss what it does say. So when you have one of those passages that oftentimes may be twisted to say something that it does not say, don't just say what it does not say. Please affirm and be encouraged by and live in light of what it does say. And that's what we're going to consider more today. It does say, I believe, is about fruitfulness. to the glory of Jesus, in Jesus, by the work of Jesus. And these powerful words, let them be an encouragement to you. That's not somebody else. That's you. That's you, believer in Jesus. So let's remember the context. Of course, the disciples really needed this profound encouragement, and you may need it too. This was the night of Passover. On this night, the betrayer had been unmasked. Jesus reminded them the cross is here. He's going to the cross. The Lord's Supper has been instituted, as Jesus points to the symbolic reality in the bread and the cup in that Passover meal. Jesus has modeled humble love. He has commanded humble love. And then he tells them he's going away. And the disciples are like, what? And of course, this was difficult for them to hear. And then he says, though, hey, I am the way to life and peace. And he assures them of that. And we talked about that last week. Let's look at John 14:6 as kind of the summary and Jesus' provision for us. In himself, Jesus said to him, that is to Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So he is the one who provides access to the Father. And as we build on today's message, he is the one who is the source of all fruitfulness in gospel ministry and mission. That's why we believe in him, to receive life and to be sustained in life. And we're exploring then those reasons for believing from John 14. Today we're going to consider how fruitfulness centers in Jesus. It's the person of Jesus that is central to all fruitfulness. Abide in me, Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, and you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So this is for gospel ministry, gospel spreading, growing in humble servanthood, being a part of a community that expresses his love one to another and encourages people to be built up in him and on mission for him. And Jesus is doing all this work. Fruitfulness, we'll see today, centers in Jesus. We'll talk about seeing the Father in him, the Son's words and works, the works that we do as the Spirit works in us, the Spirit he has given, our prayers in his name. And we see that spiritual fruitfulness of believers for Jesus flows from Jesus and believing in him. That's where we're going today in our message. Fruitfulness centers in Jesus. So let's go back to that verse, John 14, verse 12. Just a reminder of one big part of that fruitfulness. Truly, truly, I say unto you, whoever believes in me will also do greater works than I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Notice that. So this is connecting to the giving of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus mentioning of him going to the Father, as we see him unpack this further, he's saying that when I go away, I will send the Holy Spirit who will indwell each and every believer. And he's the one who's going to empower you, direct you, guide you, lead you in doing this work and in the fruitfulness that I bring about. Let's look at John 14, 13, and we'll dig down a little deeper into this later. Next verse, next slide. Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. I'm like, wow, man, that sounds pretty incredible. He's going to do whatever I ask in his name. But don't miss, this is not something about centering everything in you and your agendas. This is about centering everything in him and his agendas. Because the aim or purpose of these prayers that we pray are not that we are glorified, but that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John 14, verse 13b. So that's how we're praying. That's how we're looking. That's how we're living. That's the kind of fruitfulness we're talking about. And further on, John chapter 15, verse 16, the purpose of our lives and the purpose of our praying, what is it? It's fruit. It's fruitfulness. Jesus said, you do not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and live for yourselves. No, go and bear fruit, gospel fruit, kingdom fruit, Jesus proclaiming, Jesus glorifying, Jesus growing, Jesus discipling, Jesus mission multiplying, that kind of fruit. and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in my Father's name, he may give it. Look at that, the connection of the prayer in his name and fruitfulness. So fruitfulness centers in Jesus. Let's look first at this aspect of seeing the Father in him. Jesus talks about this here. His promises to those who believe in him include fruitfulness. And part of this fruitfulness is the very blessing of seeing God. The very blessing of seeing God. Though the Father and Son are different as persons, we know this, from eternity past, forever and ever, as God, the Father and Son are the same. And this is what Jesus is saying. And this then has profound implications for this issue of fruitfulness. And I guess I want us to think about just sort of the way Philip frames this as he says, Lord, show us the Father and it is enough for us. John 14, verse 8. Jesus just talked about, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then Philip says, well, then show us the Father. Man, if we just could see God, everything would change for us. Everything would dramatically change. I want you to think about maybe a life event where somebody dramatically changed. They see something and they're changed. And the thing that comes to my mind is being a parent. When somebody's like, oh my goodness, this is my child. I'm a father. I'm a mother. Sometimes people just change almost instantaneously in that moment. Well, something even more profound than seeing a child that is your own child is seeing God himself. And this is how Philip is sort of building up. And he's saying, if we just could see God, it'd be like, we'd be all set. We'd have the sense of blessing, fruitfulness, peace, everything just be all set. We'd be good. Everything would be great. And then Jesus says, well, guess what? You have. Have you been with me so long and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me, John 14, verse 9b, has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? And of course, in John chapter 1, verse 18, John begins his prologue there by saying, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Non-believers miss it. They don't see his glory. But those who believe in Jesus do see his glory, and it changes everything. That's what Jesus is saying. In seeing his glory as God, it moves us down that road of peace, power, purpose, and fruitfulness. Do you not believe, John 14, verse 10a, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? And in John 10, verse 30 says, I and the Father are one. They are both as persons possessing all of the qualities of God in all of their greatness equally. That's what it means. The Father is in me and I am in the Father. So when you have a personal faith in Jesus, you have seen the Father in him that moves you down this road of fruitfulness. That's what Jesus is saying. And let's consider then the Son's words and works. These are powerful words that Jesus speaks. This is the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus in his words, and like you know, the whole Gospel of John is filled with his claims, things he says that point to him, and his works, everything he does points to him. And the point of all of this is to believe in him. Believing in him saves us for life, eternal life, abundant life, and believing in him sustains us for fruit in life. So all the Son's words and all the Son's works are called to believe. Let's look at this a little bit further. There's where fruitfulness flows. The testimony of Jesus, in broad terms, includes two things, his words and works, John 14, verse 10b. The words I have said to you, I do not speak of my own authority. Again, he's referencing the interconnection of Father and Son. But the Father who dwells in me does his work. So these words that give life, the words I have spoken to you are spirit and life, and the works that he does, that all of these things, what is Jesus saying is sort of the bottom line of it. The next verse says that bottom line. John 14, verse 11. Believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. The words and the works point to and call for believing. Or else believe, even if you're not accepting on the basis of what I'm saying here, believe and accept it on the basis of the works. And this believe, of course, throughout the Gospel of John, over 90 times, it's a personal trust to receive life. And this personal trust that gives us life also sustains us with peace as a fruit. Now you think about like serving Jesus in a world of opposition, turmoil, and trouble. What oftentimes keeps people from being fruitful? I would submit to you, it's being overwhelmed with life and fear. When we're overwhelmed with life and fear, it's like, oh, okay, well, I'm kind of back here, and hopefully everything's going, and maybe somebody's going to. But when we are believing, then Jesus promises us this peace. And so we're not overwhelmed at life, and it's difficult. It's hard, but Jesus is in us, with us, working, and he's promised that. And let me just take you to two scriptures that reinforce this. Of course, the bottom line beginning point is believing unto salvation. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You accept that he is who he says he claims to be. And you accept his finished work on the cross. You then personally accept that, trust him, and commit to following him. But sometimes people do that, and then they still live lives, although they're going to heaven and they have personal faith in Jesus, they still live lives being overwhelmed with fear and not being fruitful. And remember the context Jesus delivered this. John 14, verse 1. The disciples were just right there, overwhelmed. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. This is then the promise of peace in this that flows from continued believing and trust in Jesus. He's the one who calms our hearts. So then by that continued trust and abiding in him, we do are bearing much fruit. Not in us, but in him and in the working that he brings. And so his words and works, we accept him personally, we believe in him, we're sustained in that, and there's fruitfulness centered in Jesus. And let's look then next at our works. This is where it gets really, really exciting. Our works by the Spirit he gives. And again, we're not talking a special class of Christians here. This is everybody who truly believes in Jesus, what Jesus is talking about. Jesus has promised fruitful work and ministry, kingdom work, gospel work, Jesus proclaiming work, to be done by the Holy Spirit in the lives of those who are believers because Jesus gives the Holy Spirit to believers. We'll talk more about the Holy Spirit next week, but Jesus here introduces the Holy Spirit and the work that happens in the life of a believer because Jesus gives the Holy Spirit, having ascended to the Father. Here it is, John 14, verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. I have a question mark there and an exclamation. It's like, what is Jesus saying? You're like, and the other is like, how can this even be said? So it is perhaps perplexing, but we're gonna talk more about it, give greater clarity and definition, and I hope you're like powerfully encouraged. Jesus gave us this promise of his working in the life of every single believer by the Holy Spirit, and it's related to works. We will do the works that he does. Wow. And even greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father and have sent the Holy Spirit. Let's just substantiate that because I am going to the Father is developed further in the person of the Holy Spirit as the one sent when he goes to the Father. John 14, verse 16. Just in the next coming verses, We'll look more at this next week. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, some translations say counselor, to be with you forever. We'll talk more about that next week. So, what does Jesus mean by all believers doing the works of Jesus? I want to draw your attention to this in the context. I believe it's quite clear what Jesus means. And he's not talking about all of us doing miracles. He is, though, talking about all of us. Our lives and words point to Jesus and call for believing in him. When Jesus talks about the works that he's doing, he just referenced this in John 14, verse 11, and moving into John 14, verse 12, which is believing. The focus is believing. And if you want to look back at John 13, verse 35, that's the one where it says about that, by this will all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. So when we live in a way that represents and reflects Jesus, others are drawn to Jesus and believing in Jesus. Jesus is promising that we will do this by the working of his Spirit in us so that our lives, our community, the way we relate to one another points people to Jesus and calls for a response of believing. That's what is meant by, and the works that I do, you will do. We point people to Jesus, and that pointing calls for believing in Jesus. And what does it mean when it says all believers will do even greater works? And I would submit to you that it does not mean more miraculous than the works of Jesus. It does not, it cannot mean that. And let me tell you some reasons why I believe that. Number one, that interpretation always is built on the presupposition of super spiritual Christians. Right? But this text is a text about all Christians. Number two, I don't care how many miracles somebody does, they never, ever will compare to the miracles of Jesus. So find me somebody who God has used to do miraculous works. Praise be in the name of Jesus, if that's the case, apostle or even present day. I'm not discounting the reality of happening. I'm saying, no, that person hasn't turned water into wine, walked on water, turned loaves and fishes into feeding 5,000, and raised people from the dead. Miracles, yes, praise be the name of the Lord. More miracles than Jesus, greater miracles than Jesus. No, I submit to you, no one will. Now here's a third reason. Paul explicitly speaks about miracle working in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 28 and 29 in particular, and he says, not all work miraculous deeds. So this is saying all, and he says not all. So clearly this is a gifting and an enabling for some, whether it be apostles or by virtue of special spiritual gifts. So what does it mean then? Again, don't just say what it doesn't mean, what it does mean. Well, for sure we know, one thing we know for sure it does mean, is this is connected to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in every person, every believer. Clearly it is, because Jesus says this happens because I go to the Father. So I would say this first is the continuing within working. And in that sense, in one respect, it is greater. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 says, I've written to you about all the things Jesus began to do. That was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But Acts is the work Jesus continues to do by the working of the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't end at the end of the book of Acts. Jesus continues to do by the working of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers today and until he comes. So it's the continuing within work that we know textually is one aspect of what it means. The greater works is done by the Holy Spirit. I would say as well, it is, and this is moving a little bit into conjecture, but based on the context, it is the completed. Something is greater about this than is completed. All of the things Jesus has done and all the things he's promised for believers to do, for sure, are in some ways anticipatory. Anticipatory. Jesus is on the way to the cross. He has not yet risen from the dead. He has not yet sent it to the Father and poured out the Spirit. This is all anticipatory. But for us, now, there's something greater in the sense these are completed. It is finished. And so we now minister and worship Jesus and proclaim the message and live as a community of believers in this finished reality that Jesus has done. And even at John 13, verse 1, it sort of anticipates this. He loved them to the end, which was the end. It is finished. And now risen from dead and glorified to the Father. And thirdly, I believe it is comprehensive. It is greater in the sense as continuing within, completed work, and it is comprehensive. Jesus ministered in one small realm, one small geographical region of this world. Galilee, Judea, a little bit across the Jordan, and a little bit up maybe into southern Lebanon. That's it. But now gospel ministry happens worldwide. And in the context, that's what Jesus is getting at. In John chapter 13, verse 20, he speaks about the one I send. And then in John chapter 20, verse 21, he explicitly says, I am sending. So we as believers are sent out in worldwide mission, comprehensively worldwide, in gospel proclamation. And in these ways, perhaps others, it is a greater work through the working of the Holy Spirit within us. So don't hear the not, hear the yes. Jesus here has promised to work in us to advance his completed work in worldwide mission by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. Isn't that great? Isn't that encouraging? So that's fruitfulness. It comes from Jesus. It centers in Jesus. And then one last thing, our prayers in his name. Fruitfulness centers in Jesus. Prayer in Jesus' name is not just a tagline. It's okay. It's theologically proper to say, and we pray these things in Jesus' name, or I pray in Jesus' name. But that's really not the depth of what it is. It's not a tagline. It's a comprehensive expression of all that Jesus is, his person, his authority, his purposes, and our desire to align our prayers with that. The person, the authority, and the purposes of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is saying here that when believers pray in accord with his person and purposes, he's going to answer the prayers. He's promised to answer the prayers. I'm not saying every last one according to what we want. Of course, God is sovereign and he knows better than we do. But there's going to be a lot of prayer answering going on according to this. When we're praying, not Lord, my will, but Lord, your will. Not Lord, bring glory to me and us, but Lord, bring glory to you and the things you care about. So I would ask you, what if fruitfulness hung in the balance on whether you asked for it or not? In some ways, that's true. You growing, others growing, gospel opportunities, lives impacted, disciples multiplied, kingdom ministry advanced, people coming to Jesus. You know, in all this, of course, God is sovereign. I'm not saying we just push a button and God answers, but look at what Jesus says. Notice what Jesus says about praying and the centrality of Jesus in praying. Whatever you ask in my name, that's the person of Jesus. Name represents all that he is. And he says then, this I will do. It's not just kind of general answers. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. And that in my name phrase is in 14:14, 14:26, 15:21, 16:23, 16:24, 16:26. That's a big one here in the Gospel of John, in my name. So despite the appearance, maybe if you look at it from an immature, worldly perspective, this isn't a promise, or the next verse a promise, to get everything I want. Why? Because it's praying in my name. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So there is a conditional here implied. It's praying in alignment with the person, purpose of Jesus Christ. So I then submit to you, what kind of prayers would those be? From the context here, and again, there's certainly more involved, but one is, you pray for people to believe in Jesus. That's praying in the name of Jesus, that more people believe in Jesus. For sure, for sure. You pray that believers experience freedom by His truth and His Spirit, John 8. You pray that believers would be serving one another, humbly in love, not sort of like, no, I got my thing, you're going to do your thing. No, there's this servanthood and humble love that sees barriers of ethnicity and education and age broken down and gospel ministry advance. Pray for that. Pray for peace in Jesus, by Jesus, in the troubled world. Yes, the world, we have tribulation and difficulty, but Jesus says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Pray that believers stand with that peace to boldly serve Jesus. Pray for obeying Jesus, not taking the words of Jesus and twisting them around something that's supposed to be for us, and then we go off and disobey. No, pray for obeying Jesus, the display of loving Jesus on the part of those who know and believe in Jesus. Pray for gospel mission to His glory, both in the church and from the church. Pray for bearing fruit. Pray for people to be living lives that reflect Him and growing in Him. This is praying in Jesus' name. Can we pray this way? Can we please pray this way? Because in so many ways, these promises kind of put it back on us to say, hey, I'm working, I'm your resource, but you got to ask in my name. How do we respond to this? Well, first, I hope that every one of us who has life in Jesus would just be encouraged to trust Him, encouraged to treasure Him, encouraged to pray in alignment with His purposes, encouraged that, hey, He's given us all these resources in Himself for fruitfulness. He's doing gospel work in us, through us, and maybe sometimes we feel like, what's going on? Who am I? I'm just me. But Jesus says, no, I am the source of your fruitfulness, and I'm working unto my glory. So have that sense, I'm blessed. I'm thankful. I'm trusting Jesus. And then walk in that. Here's the promise. Truly, truly, I say to you, and of course, truly, truly underscores, this is really, really important. Whoever believes in me, this is every ordinary believer, will also do the works that I do. It's drawing attention to Jesus and advancing gospel ministry that points to Him and believing in Him. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. That's the promise. Now, this verse, of course, underscores the whoever believes in me. You have to start with believing. If you haven't believed, this verse isn't for you. If you haven't personally turned to Jesus and are not trusting Him, this verse isn't for you. So we've got to go back to John chapter 20, verse 30, and remember the purpose of all this in the Gospel of John is these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, this response of accepting, trusting, fellowship, and continuing, you may have life in His name. So take that step today if you haven't, and continue on that journey if you had. And then let me just end with one last reminder of the call to pray in His name. John 14, verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your promise. Thank you for your promise of working. Thank you for the reality that you are the center and source of all fruitfulness for every believer and every church in every generation, Lord. And we thank you that you have given us not only these promises, Lord, but you've given us the Holy Spirit. Having ascended to the Father, each true believer, each one truly born again, receives that gift of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling presence. And that continues. Lord, you are continuing your work through the Holy Spirit. You are continuing that work in proclamation of the completed work that you have done on the cross and by your victory over death. You are continuing that work in proclaiming your completed work, Lord, in comprehensive worldwide ministry and mission, not just for us or somebody here, Lord, but for others that are different from us and somebody over there, Lord. This work continues, and you are doing it. And Lord, we pray that we as your people would trust in you and treasure you, that we would be led by you, empowered by you. Lord Jesus, we pray in your name. We pray for your glory. We pray because of your authority. We pray in alignment with your person as God. We pray based on the finished work on the cross and the victory over death, Lord, that more and more people right around us in this part of the world would be coming to faith in Jesus and in other places as well. Lord, we pray for the church to be empowered, not just Trinity, but everywhere that people love and proclaim you. Lord, we pray that we would demonstrate love for one another, servanthood, not selfishness. Lord, we pray that you would increase our praying. We would pray that you would help us to trust you and ask you for the advancing of your work and the glorification of your name. Lord, we pray this in the honor of and the name of and for the glory of Jesus, Son of God and Savior, the source of fruitfulness. Amen.